الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing the sustenance and roses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. And we had mentioned the verse wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no living creature, nothing that walks on the face of the earth, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself to feed those creatures and those living things. This is a very, very vast topic we see sometimes outside. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for the birds, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for the animals, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for the fish in the sea, all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Inna Allah huwa al-Razzaq. He is the only one that feeds everyone. Zul quwwatil mateen. He is strong and mighty. Other words, there's nothing that frustrates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no need, no creature, no area, no place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the rosy to every one of his creation, and rosy that is befitting to that, that is compatible with that. In other words, that rosy, for example, if we are given things that we cannot consume, or an animal is given such things that we consume, then that will not be befitting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what rosy and what amount of rosy, what type of rosy and risk a person wants, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides it. There is an unseen system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind this. We feel we go and earn a few coppers, and go to the store and buy something, we are sort of making some effort. But if you look at every single item, behind it there's a large and great effort. Whether it is the bread you eat, whether it is the fruit we eat, whether it is the vegetables we eat, there's a very long process behind it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his unseen qudrat, works that process. That process comes into being in effect by the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just take a small fruit that we have, an apple that we may be having. First, it needs the seed to go down into the ground, and then the whole process of that growing, and it has to be watered down, etc. It needs the sunlight, it needs so many other things. No wild animal should come and eat it up, and should not be destroyed by any floods, etc. It's protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Over a period of time, sometimes we do not never know which part of the earth this was grown, how much effort was put in therein, and thereafter it comes to the supermarket here. We take a few coppers and go in exchange of that, bring in and sit down and eat. We not think and reflect that this was planted by someone. It grew up in a certain place. There was a whole process that had taken place. Then it was plucked there and it was brought to the marketplaces from the farms that were sold in the markets. Then it was brought by the wholesaler and bought here to your shopping area. And we went there and bought it and sat down and ate it. If we sit and reflect, every single thing, whether it's a slice of bread we eat or whether it's the meat that we consume, there's a whole process behind it. That animal, where was it reared? Where was it born? How long did it take for it to come into certain age? It was bought, brought, slaughtered, etc., then brought to us and we consumed it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system of feeding is very ajeeb. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, and he has the full power and qudrat. They mentioned that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when it went to Mount Tur, it's mentioned there after he was given nubuwat, then he was told to go to Fir'aun. It's mentioned in some commentaries that the thought had come to his mind that I'm going to Fir'aun and my wife is going to be left. How is she going to be reared and brought up, and who's going to look after her sustenance? He was told that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was told to strike onto a rock, and when he had struck onto a rock, out of that came another rock. He was told to strike onto that rock, and out of that came another second rock, and he was told to strike on that rock, and out of that came a third rock, and out of that came a creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a green leaf there in its mouth. In the rocks of the rocks, imagine, deep down there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds. How and what? We cannot imagine. And we see in so many occasions that there are so many, especially now, when we find there's so much traveling and there's so much exchange of items from one continent to the other, this is produced in certain continent. You can even go down the road now and buy vegetables that are grown there in India. Imagine the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how these things are brought to us. If I was told that you have to cater for your own fish and for your own meat and for your own vegetables and for your own fruit, impossible for a person to see that he grows all this, he looks after them, he cuts it and brings it to his table. For all the wealth of the world, it cannot be possible even to feed ourselves with one meal. So this is the one aspect of the feeding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is zil quwwatil mateen. He has full might and full strength, and he knows where and how our rozi and rizq will come. As I mentioned, our rozi has been predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we were in the wombs of our mothers. The only thing now here is for us to seek those avenues that are halal and that are absolutely permissible to get that rozi. Person will seek the avenues of haram, he will still get that rosy, but it will be haram and he will be sinful and it will become destructive for him. But on the other hand, if he seeks the halal manner, like we had mentioned last week about that person who had found that necklace and he could have pocketed it and forgot about it, but no, he was trustful and truthworthy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when that was destined for him, it went over a great journey and he reached that place, and eventually and ultimately it came into his hands. And it was much more worth, much more than what he initially had got for it. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if a person employs the ways of halal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives barakat in his rozi. And this is what we should look for, not the amount of rozi we get, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to us in a halal manner, gives it to us in an easy manner, gives it to us in such a manner that we have blessings. On the other hand, if a person accumulates wealth, and if it's in a haram manner, then what happens? Sometimes he doesn't even benefit from that wealth, and sometimes he loses in the world as well as the hereafter. Reminds me of an incident in the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. One person who was newly converted joined Isa alayhi salatu wasalam on one journey. And on that journey, the time came for having food. They sat down for food. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam took out the food. There were three breads or three rotis there, and they sat down to eat. Isa alayhi salam noticed that one was missing. He asked this person, that where is that roti that is missing? We were three, there were three, and there were only two there now. This person said, I do not know. They partook of those rotis, and they continued. While they continued, thereafter they came again, an occasion for them to eat, and there was no food. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam went into the jungle and found an antelope there, and a young antelope. He beckoned to that antelope came to him, and he cut out part of that antelope, and thereafter he put his hand, and miraculously that animal was returned to its first position and it was completely cured and there was no wound, etc. there. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, thereafter this food was partaken there, and he told this person, you have seen my miracle, where is the third roti? This person said, I do not know. Isa alayhi salam continued, and he came to a river. It was time to cross the river, nothing to go across. Isa alayhi salam took hold of his hand, and in a flip second they were across already on the other side of the river, and he told him, there's another miracle, qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has taken us across. Where is the roti, third roti? The person said, I do not know where it is, and I'm speaking the truth. Then came the third part of the journey, when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam found three bricks there that were baked. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam put his hand over it, and miraculously it turned into gold. Then this person's eyes began to open, and he began to tell him, there is a large amount of wealth, why don't you give it to me? Isa alayhi salam told him, one is for me, one is for you, and one is for that person that ate the roti, the third roti. Because this was a person who was the culprit, he owned up there because of his greed, and he said, I am very sorry, but I am the one that had consumed that roti. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam told him that you may take all the wealth. You may take all the wealth and fulfill your lust. You do not appreciate the companionship of a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You witnesses all these miracles, but yet you do not own up. And because of the lust of wealth, you wanted the wealth. That is why you're owning up here. You may have the wealth, but on condition that you go your way and I will go my way. It is mentioned that this person parted with Isa alayhi salam, very happy having all that wealth. But the way that wealth had come to him was not in a proper manner. And what happens ultimately is mentioned that he had sat down one place, three robbers were going past. They saw this person, they came and they killed him. And they took away that wealth. Did not last even for a few moments. It had come in a haram manner. It had come in a manner that was not prescribed, that was not praiseworthy, that was not good. And it had gone in the same manner. It is mentioned when those three people sat down, they decided to celebrate on this great booty that they had got. They sent one person to buy some sweetmeats and come, and they too awaited him. When that person went, obviously evil breeds evil. That person began to think, three bricks of gold shared by three people, and the other hand, all three for me, this is a better bargain. He laced it up with poison, and he came with this intention. In the meanwhile, these two people are conspiring that when that person comes, we will kill him. Instead of one each, we will get one and a half each. And ultimately, what happens? When that person comes, he is killed by these three, by these two people. And when they sit down to partake of that food because of the poison, they also leave this dunya. And the four corpses are lying there, and the three bricks of gold also remain there. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is passing after a while there, and he sees this, And he tells the people, these are the people that had scorned the companionship and did not like the companionship of the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they had gone for the dunya, and this is what the dunya had done to them, that they had not benefited in the world nor in the hereafter. Otherwise, they have left this dunya and that wealth was there. So that which is consumed by haram, by manners that is not proper, that is not confined to the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will not be lasting, that will not be blessed. That is why today we find many occasions we have a great amount of wealth. Person has everything you see outwardly, but he does not have the peace of mind, contentment of the heart, satisfaction of the soul. Why? Because there is some haram there, and that haram shows its color wherever it goes. And we'll be surprised, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. We should scrutinize our ways of income. Reminds me of an incident that I read many years ago. One person, very pious person, had gone to a locality, and it was a custom there, not a single person should come to a locality, but everybody around him should be anxious that this person becomes my guest and I become his host. That was the standard of hospitality, and it's still found, mashallah, in many people, that when a new person comes, then they are looking out for that person to take him home to feed him. So everybody aspired to feed this pious person, and he refused. And ultimately, when the person began to insist, then he began to ask him about his source of income. And it was established that that person's source of income who invited him was not purely halal. And this silsila carried on. This carried on right up to the late part of the night, where every person came to him and said, come to me. And he began to scrutinize and ask him and question him and investigate and find out where is your source of income. It came and came and came, and there was hardly any person in the whole locality whose income was halal. It is mentioned there is an incident with due respect to the learned people around us, that they told the Imam Sahib, Allah Pak save us all of us can fall prey to the surrounding around us and to the environment, and because of our weakness, we can fall prey and become victim to the haram around us. So they said, now here we have the Imam, mashallah, and there can be no doubt in the income of the Imam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves all the Imams and all of us. Says when he began to inquire from the Imam Sahib, where is your source of income? It was established, it was from a piece of land that his father had given to him in inheritance. He asked him whether this inheritance was distributed in accordance with Islamic law. He said no. He said, then with due respect to you, Imam Sahib, even your income is not completely pure. Thereafter, late in the evening, there was one person, that in that entire locality, only one person, according to this person's standards, whose income was pure. It's mentioned that he had left that town the next day, but all of those people repented and began to investigate and rectify their lifestyle to ensure that their income is completely from halal. That is why here especially it is essential for us to establish that our income is from halal and complete halal sources. And this regards, it needs an effort to investigate, to scrutinize, to go to the ulama kiram, not just to follow the tide, whatever is happening in the marketplace, we also do, they are doing it and we are doing it. Rasulullah has told us that there will come a time when the people, la yubadil mar, person will not be concerned whether his income is from halal or whether his income is from haram. And on the other hand, when our income is from halal, then what happens? It may be very little, maybe not too much. The figures may not be 5 or 6 and 10 figures, but the barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in there, that our needs are fulfilled, our children are going in the right directions, we are safe from calamities, etc., earning a little bit, we are contented and happy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah there. And the beautiful effect of halal rozi is this: a person is spurred towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in haram, what happens? When a person feeds himself haram and his children and wife haram, then you go towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite living in such a nice environment, but because we are consuming haram, we begin to go towards halal. We begin to go towards haram actions. Reminds me of an incident. There was a person in Deoband who used to work and cut grass. And it's mentioned that he only used to earn 6 paisas. 6 paisas today, not even equivalent to 5 cents. And what was his way? His way was this, that he used to use 2 paisas for his expenditure. In other words, 1/3 for his expenditure, 1/3 he used to give out in charity, and 1/3 he used to leave and keep and save up. And at the end of the year, it's mentioned, once a year, he used to invite the great eminent ulama of the Institute of Deoband for a feast and for a meal. He used to invite them, honoring them. It's mentioned by our Akabir and our Mashaykh, they used to sit and wait eagerly and anxiously for that dawat and for that invitation of that person, because after they used to consume that food, they used to feel the effects of that food for up to 40 days.
They should feel the nuraniyat and the effulgence and the noor, and they used to be inclined toward the worship and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because that income was totally from halal sources. When it's from halal sources, it shows its color, it shows its effect, and a person who eats that from halal sources, he is inclined toward the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet another incident of a person that had gone into an area and a locality, and one person had come to him and given him 3 rotis. We do not understand this today because we have so many types of dishes when you sit down on the table. What does roti do? How will it fill a person's stomach? But this was the simplicity of that time. And this was the ikhlas of that time, that the person gave him 3 pieces of roti on the first day. On the second day, he gave him 2. On the third day, he gave him the 1 roti. And he asked him, please, for the sake of Allah, to leave the locality. Now here on one hand we find the hospitality, that he's giving him 3 rotis, 2 and 1, and thereafter he's asking him to leave the locality. What is the hidden secret behind this? This person told him that when you had come into our town, myself and my wife and my child had sacrificed our roti that we had, 1 roti for the day, we had given it to the guest that had come to our locality. This is the level of hospitality, just 1 roti, but 100% sacrifice of the food they had in feeding this guest, they had given it to him. On the second day, my child could not bear the starvation for the second day. He had eaten his portion at that 1 roti, and I and my wife had sacrificed and given you both these rotis. And on the third day, my wife was not able to forbear and tolerate the pangs of hunger. She had her share, and I have given you my share. For the third day, I am starving, and I have given you my roti. And that is why I will not be able to tolerate this hunger for the 4th day. That is why I request you in the name of Allah to leave this locality. This is the level of sacrifice on one side. And what is the effect of halal? This person says, I am just wondering, since I have come here and ate those rotis. He says, every night I see Rasulullah sallallahu in my dream. This is the effect of the halal. So I began to wonder how astonishing and surprising that every night I see Rasulullah sallallahu in my dream after I have come to this town. This is the effect of that halal rosy that person had earned. Today we also, if you earn halal, put it onto the table and feed it to our wives and children, we will see inshallah in them also this aspect of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the spirit and power will be more. But unfortunately today it seems that only a handful of people seem to be really concerned about where the money is coming and what are the sources of the money, and they really scrutinize and see, and they are prepared to let go even if it is haram. And even if it is oceans of wealth coming to them, but if some haram sources, they're not prepared to take it. And earning a halal living is not only a primary duty of every person, but there are great rewards for that person who is upright in the marketplace. We had mentioned this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, At-tajiru as-saduqul amin ma'an nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada. Or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that trader that goes there and he's upright, especially today when we find people making fraudulent deeds, where we find cheating, and where you find people are lying, people are deceiving people, to stay in that environment and to be truthful and to be honest and trustworthy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that trader that is completely truthful and trustworthy, he will be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabiyeen wa Shiddiqeen wa Shuhada, and with the truthful ones and with the martyred ones on the day of judgment. Otherwise, such a high reward for that person who withstands all the evil there, and he abstains and refrains from all the evil and temptations there in the marketplace and earns a living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors him and gives him this esteemed position to be with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the most high ranking creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter the Siddiqeen and Shuhada. So, O trader, that you are standing in the marketplace there, if you save yourself from those temptations and stick to halal and are truthful, then there's a great reward awaiting you in the hereafter by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet we find another tradition is mentioned, that person that earns his living, and the object of earning his living is to provide for himself, save himself from begging, provide for his wife and children, and look after the needs of his neighbor, he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment in such a manner that his face will be shining like the moon on the 14th night. So much brilliance and illumination and nur on the face of that person who had earned with the proper intention. Use the proper channels and the proper intention to earn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him this exalted position. Similarly, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us prescription, how we should be satisfied, how we should save ourselves from greed, Because this is the killer disease today, that a person has so much and so much and so much, but he wants more and more and more. There's no time or no place where a person can think, now I can draw the line now and it's sufficient for me. No, looking at the people around us and thinking that this real prosperity is to increase a person's wealth, his bank balance, the level of his standard of living, his cars, etc., etc. This is real success. This is not success. In fact, one Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, you know the kingdom that he had, the kingdom that he had, that he used to fly on the throne, and thousands of insan and jannat used to be with him. The birds used to be above the skies, above his head, and shade him from the sun. Once he was passing by in this manner, we can't even imagine how great that throne must have been. How many thousands of the creation of Allah, insan and jinnat and animals and birds, etc., are sitting there on that great train of Sulaiman, throne of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. He is passing, and there's a saint there at Batum that sees him and says, Subhanallah, what a great kingdom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. What does he say in reply? Owner of such a vast creation, who had said, made dua to Allah, Rabbi habli mulka la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Oh Allah, give me such a kingdom that is not befitting to anybody after me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted his duas, had given him such a kingdom that no king had owned after him. Such a mighty kingdom. But what does he say? He comes down and tells this person, this one subhanallah that you have said that has gone into the credit of a mu'min is much more better than the entire kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam, because his kingdom will perish, and inshallah the rewards for this subhanallah will endure. This is the reality of the life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, not even equal to the wing of a mosquito. Obviously we are in need of this dunya, but we have to earn it in a proper manner. We have to earn it in a manner that can become a means of our progress here spiritually, physically, materially, financially, and it becomes the means of our upliftment in the day of judgment. Rasulullah has shown some prescriptions for satisfaction, for contentment. How do we get that contentment? Inshallah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.